Adventures in Research.
Doctor, the first victims of that nightclub fire are in emergency. It must have been terrible.
I'll be right in.
I do hope we can save them. They look pretty bad.
Steady now. We'll have a new fighter on our side this time, nurse. And this coffee is penicillin.
This is Paul Shannon bringing you another transcribed story of science by Dr. Phillips Thomas, research engineer of the Westinghouse Research Laboratory. The story of the golden mole. By this time, the word penicillin has become as well known to the general public as the names of our presidents, top generals, and movie stars. To most of us, it conjures up mental pictures of lives saved by the thousands. A medical marvel that we've heard comes from some sort of mold. And then we think of that blue-greenish growth we've seen at one time or another on the white face of a piece of stale bread and casually recall that it is a cousin of penicillin. But there's more to the story than that. For the finding of penicillin is like a tale of buried treasure. And this is the story of penicillin. In the year 1908, a young graduate of St. Mary's Hospital Medical School, University of London, stepped into the first stage of his career in St. Mary's Pathology Laboratory, there to work under the guidance of Sir Almroth Wright, the noted English doctor. The young man's name, Alexander Fleming.
Yes, Dr. Fleming. We've come a long way since Lister and Pasteur. There's no question about it. But we've a long way to go yet to reach perfection.
I can see that, Sir Almo.
There's a wonderful field ahead of you, Fleming. You're a young man just beginning. Part of the way has been paved. It's up to your kind now to chart the rest of the course that has been started in antisepsis.
It sounds like a fascinating field to me.
It is, my boy, it is. Go after those bacteria. Find a way to help the white corpuscles of the blood kill them off. Study the wonderful doings of those white fighters. You'll find them powerful, but they need outside help. Get that help for them, my boy. Get it? And you've done humanity a great good. A great good.
And so, in the pathology laboratory of St. Mary's, young Dr. Fleming takes up the banner in the never-ending fight against the microscopic world of destruction. Under Sir Almroth Wright's guidance and with his encouragement, the young medical man gains valuable experience, studies and learns his field well, until that day when men pick up the sword of death to help the micro-killers along and march away to kill each other.
There you are, Dr. Fleming. I was wondering whether we'd be seeing you today.
I have to have my daily glass of stout, Herbert. I wouldn't miss that, though.
Yeah, we'll be missing your daily visit, Doctor. When do you leave?
Refreshing. Why, I'll be joining the forces tomorrow. So that means I'll have to be off on the night train to camp.
Going to be in the medical corps, of course.
Right you are, Herbert.
It'll be Major then, no doubt, instead of Doctor.
No, just Captain, Herbert.
Well, let me wish you the very best of luck, Captain. We'll be looking to you to keep the boys on the line.
Don't you think you'd better be getting some sleep, Captain?
Nurses need sleep as well as doctors, you know.
Oh, I'm feeling quite fit. One of the lads brought me a pot of hot coffee from the canteen. I'm good for hours yet. Besides, I have to keep an eye on Corporal Graves, you know.
How does he look?
Not good, Doctor.
It's the old story. We need better antiseptics. We've got to have them. The ones we're using now kill some of the bacteria right enough. Have a look in this microscope. See what else happened.
Oh, you have a slide in there?
Graves' latest test. Have a look. Uh-huh. Notice how completely the antiseptic has destroyed the white corpses. We're doing as much damage with those antiseptics as we're doing good. Perhaps more.
Perhaps someday someone will find something better, Dr. Fleming.
Let us hope so, nurse. Let us hope so.
end of World War I, Dr. Fleming comes back to his post, takes up his work in the little laboratory of St. Mary's in London, teaches his classes in the school. It's a peaceful routine, and in it the years drift by, while Fleming carries on his endless quest for the antiseptic, the germ killer that will let white corpuscles live and harm no tissue. How does he go about it? He cultures the germs, the bacteria themselves, grows them on special plates, carefully cataloged and stored on his laboratory shelves. Weird germs with strange names. Germs to be feared and fought.
Staphylococci, streptococci, pneumococci. It is the job of the pathologist to find the means of destroying them. There must be an answer. It doesn't come from my laboratory. Perhaps it will come from one in which you may someday work. That is all for today. Class is dismissed.
Back from the classroom to his laboratory goes Dr. Fleming. His short figure with a graying shock of hair covers the familiar route, the same as always. Down the corridor, across the court, up the stairs. But today is not to be an ordinary day. This day is soon to be as great for Dr. Fleming as the one on which Columbus glimpsed the new America. As great as the day when the mind of Newton grasped the meaning of the falling apple. Or Franklin's day when lightning reached him from the sky. Now Dr. Fleming turns the key to open his laboratory door. He steps into the musty confines of the little room. He puts down his papers and his books and walks over to the shelf that holds the culture plates. He takes one down.
Very nice. Growing quite well. Let's see number two. Nothing unusual in these cultures. Here's a third. Well, what do you know about that? Spoiled. Perfectly good plate. It's staphylococci. Attacked by some sort of mold. A blue-green mold. Oh, wait. That's odd. Staph is growing on only one half of the plate. The other half is spotted with that mold. Can that mean the mold has killed the bacteria?
This is but the discovery, the merest beginning. For now, Dr. Fleming has work to do. Long, patient hours of research. Retrace what has happened, Doctor. Carried on the air, the spore of this mold has drifted into the laboratory through an open window. Landed by merest chance upon that culture plate. Thrived and multiplied there, as molds by nature will do. And now, by some unexplainable circumstance, as it thrives, these dangerous germs you were culturing have begun to die. Unexplainable? No. Dr. Fleming is out to find the answer.
Now, have a look at the mold beneath the microscope. A bit unusual, perhaps. But doubtless a strain of Penicillium notatum.
Penicillium notatum. A type of mold easily recognized because of the pencil-like structure of the mold beneath the microscope, and thus the name Penicillium, which is the Latin word for pencil.
There's a platinum wire. All right. A few inches will do nicely. Small loop at this end. Gentle dip of the loop into the mold colony. Here on the culture plate, and now to immerse it in a tube of nutrient broth, so the mold will thrive. Then we shall see what happens.
A week, Dr. Fleming waits. An anxious week. And then the first of many trials. At the mouth of the tube, there's a growth of mold. And below that, about a half inch of cloudy liquid.
A little of the penicillium liquid, and diluted against a culture of staphylococci. We'll see the result.
The result comes fast. The undiluted penicillium liquid stops the growth of the staphylococci bacteria.
10% dilution against the staph. Satisfactory.
10% dilution. Yes, and 50%. And then 100%. Dr. Fleming dilutes it 800 times. and finds this liquid in which the penicillium mold has grown can completely stop the growth of the deadly infectious staphylococci.
This is amazing. The solution is 2 to 3 times as strong as suspected. It's pure, undiluted carbolic acid. What effect will it have on the blood?
Now for the rabbits. Remember the other antiseptics, Doctor? Remember those men in the Army hospital? Remember Corporal Graves?
It's the old story, lad. Have a look at this microscope and see what happens. Notice how completely the antiseptic has destroyed the white corpuscles. We're doing as much damage with these antiseptics as we're doing good. Perhaps more.
Perhaps someday someone will find something better, Dr. Fleming.
Something better. Is this it? This mold liquid? This penicillium soup you're putting in that hypodermic needle now, Dr. Fleming? What will this bacteria stopper do to those white corpuscles in that blood of your test rabbit?
Well, still, Bunny, don't wriggle so. This won't hurt you. Now, it's your cage to go, and we'll see what effect it has.
No harm done. The bunny is as frisky an hour later as when the injection is made. And when a sample of the rabbit's blood is magnified under the doctor's microscope, the picture is far different than the one the nurse saw in the blood test of the soldier. The penicillium liquid injection has not harmed those life-saving white corpuscles one whit.
You're on the way, old bunny. It didn't hurt you at all.
More injections now. In rabbits. In mice. More tests against other bacteria besides the staph. Against germ after germ, not all but many, the action of the penicillium is positive. And so, after a year of patient research, Alexander Fleming publishes his findings.
Have you seen the pathology journal this month, Doctor?
No. My copy must have been delayed.
Interesting item in there about a new germ killer.
Oh, is that so?
Fleming found the stuff. You know, Dr. Fleming, teacher at St. Mary's.
Oh, yes, yes.
Seems he's made a liquid from a penicillium mold. Calls it penicillin. Claims this stuff is 2 to 3 times as effective as carbolic acid in discouraging germ growth.
Mm, it does, eh? And what's it do to the tissues and the blood, may I ask?
That's the interesting thing, Doctor. It doesn't hurt it one whit.
Well, that's very interesting. Perhaps I'll believe it when I see it.
And there in 1928, the story of Dr. Fleming and his penicillin ended. No one paid much attention to his find, and he went on to other work, dismissing his great laboratory triumph as simply another experiment. For more than a decade, this powerful medical aid lay dormant, simply a souvenir on a laboratory shelf, another article in a scientific journal. It took the rumblings of a Second World War and the interest of other researchers to bring it out of the darkness of those years and actually give Dr. Fleming's penicillin to the world. But that is another story, and one whose results we all know so well. For today, thousands of lives have been saved. Untold pain has been alleviated, thanks to Sir Alexander Fleming's inspiring adventure in research. The Golden Mold, the story you have just heard, is another in the series of adventures in research by Dr. Phillips Thomas, research engineer of the Westinghouse Research Laboratories. Be sure to listen again next week for another interesting transcribed story by Dr. Thomas on Adventures in Research.